If you want to follow along, our scripture reading this evening will come from Matthew 8:18, and then we'll be looking at some other verses as well as we continue in our study of what does it mean to be a disciple. We started last week acknowledging the fact that in Matthew 28, that Jesus gives very clear instructions to the church to go and make disciples, and so that the call on us as a church is to not only be disciples, but to make disciples. And if we're going to engage in this task that the Lord has given to us, we need to know what, in fact, is a disciple. And so it has implications for each of us as individuals that I am called to be a disciple. It has implications for those of you who are parents. What am I doing toward the discipleship of the children whom God has given to me? But it also has implications for each of us as a part of the body of believers as well. And even as we think about as a church, what are our priorities as a church? What do we need to be doing? Clearly, we are called to make disciples. And we talked last week then about what that means. What is a disciple? Well, a disciple is one, as we said last week, and it's a very basic definition, it's somebody who follows Jesus, right? And if we're going to follow Jesus, it implies actually that, first of all, that we're going to learn from Jesus, because we don't naturally know and do the things that Jesus does or that Jesus would expect of us. We also then saw last week that not only do we learn from Jesus, but that we are called not only to hear the word, but to obey it, right? That you can't just follow by saying, oh, thank you for that information, Jesus. Now you go ahead and walk in that way. But to be a follower requires that we get in motion as well and that we obey and follow after Him. And then we saw in conclusion last week that as those who seek to learn from Jesus, as those who are seeking to obey Jesus, that we also as disciples will be marked by a pattern of repentance, because none of us follows in the footsteps perfectly, right? We often get off the tracks, and how do we get back on the tracks? Well, we repent again and again, and we say, Lord, I failed again to follow in the steps of Jesus. I did not obey what you've instructed me to do, or I didn't understand. This is something new for me. I didn't understand, and I repent from the way I have been living in this area of my life, and I want to now follow after Christ in this area of my life that now you've opened my eyes to. So a disciple follows after Jesus. And Matthew 8:18 and through 22 continues to build on this theme and teaches us some more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Matthew 8:18 through 22. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my Father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Well, if you came tonight hoping to sign up for the Discipleship Convertible Club or the Discipleship Speedboat Owners and Limousine Riders Club, you have come to the wrong sermon. That is not what the Scripture describes as the life of the disciple. In fact, the Scripture makes clear that the disciple of Jesus Christ sacrifices. And that in order for you and me to follow after Jesus, that we must sacrifice as well in order to follow in his footsteps. Now, as you think about this idea of sacrificing for Jesus, I'm going to make a distinction right at the start. And I hope this is helpful to you. There's what we might think of as sacrifices that are forced on us. And I'm going to group that more under the heading of suffering, right? Sometimes there are, as we follow Jesus, there can be persecution, right? And certainly there is a form of sacrifice there. There might be things we've just sung about, being afflicted in following after Christ and seeking to obey the Lord. That also might be something that is inflicted on us, right? The Lord can send difficult circumstances into our lives. And that is part of the life of the disciple as well. That idea of suffering is a mark, a hallmark of the disciple. But for our purposes this evening, we're more going to focus in on sacrifice that is chosen. Not sacrifice that's inflicted on you, but sacrifice that you sign up for. Sacrifice that you say, in order to follow Jesus Christ, I am going to give up certain things. And the call of the Scripture for us as we are called to discipleship is a call to choose a life of sacrifice. Or at least in my mind, there are three groupings that come out in the Gospels when we talk about choosing to sacrifice. The first grouping is that we choose to sacrifice creature comforts as we choose to follow after Jesus. Right here in Matthew 8:20, there's someone who apparently wants to follow Jesus. He thinks he wants to follow Jesus. And Jesus says to him, by the way, have you thought through the fact that the animals are given homes? But as I go through life seeking to minister to people, I don't know where I'm going to lay my head tonight. I deal with that kind of uncertainty, Jesus says. Are you ready to this man? Are you ready to give up your comfortable life in order to follow after me? Because foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head. Are you ready to have nowhere to lay your head? Or we might think of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus wanting, saying, I want to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus says, okay, go and give up your money. Sell what you have and give it to the poor, and then you'll be ready to follow after me. Or we might think of later on in the life and ministry of Jesus, as the disciples go with Jesus from the Last Supper to where? To the Garden of Gethsemane. And what does Jesus say? Watch and pray, so you will not enter into temptation. Now, they don't do so well, but Jesus calls on them to sacrifice the opportunity to sleep in order to spend time in prayer, in order to plead for their own strengthening from the Lord. So God calls us as disciples to choose sacrifice. And for you and me, that may well mean that we need to choose to give up sleep. That I need to get up a little earlier in the morning so that I have time to spend in God's Word before I head off to work. I'm struggling with a particular temptation, and I need to stay up later tonight in order to pray, in order to ask God to give me deliverance. I need to have a concern and to bear a burden for the lost. And this actually keeps me awake sometimes at night, or wakes me up in the middle of the night, because I'm carrying this burden. That's what part of following Jesus means, that we choose to sacrifice creature comforts. You can also think of Jesus' call in other places to fast, to give up food. Or perhaps most difficult for many of us is the call for a disciple to give up me time. How many times is Jesus dealing with the multitudes pressing in on him? Pressing in, oh, well, I'm going to take the apostles. We're going to go over and get some time away. And he gets over here, and guess what? The people already figured out he was going over here. And here they come again. And even the disciples had a hard time learning this lesson, didn't they? They would come to Jesus and they'd say, Jesus, make these people go away. They keep pressing after us. Well, no, they really weren't pressing in after the disciples. They wanted to be with Jesus, the people did. But as people come to us with needs and burdens, as we follow after Christ, as we seek to live a life of service to Jesus, be ready to sacrifice some of your me time. That's the call. So a disciple sacrifices, and he chooses to sacrifice even his own or her own creature comforts in order to be near to Christ, in order to follow after him. Well, we also see in the passage that we read in verse 22 that a disciple chooses to sacrifice opportunities. Jesus says to this man who says, let me first go and bury my father, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. This is a difficult passage in many ways for us, because going back to bury one's parents seems like it's quite in keeping with the fifth commandment, right? Honor your father and your mother. And this desire that this person had, that this potential follower of Christ had, is not a really wicked desire. You know, he's not saying, Jesus, I want to follow you, but let me first spend a couple years sowing wild oats. Let me first spend a couple months in Vegas, and then after I've gotten this sin out of my system, then I'll come and follow after. You know, he's saying, I just want the opportunity to go and put my parents in their graves, and then I'll come and follow after you. And Jesus says, no. Following me takes priority. These other opportunities that you have, and you may have numerous great opportunities. You may have opportunities to make a lot more money if you'll choose to not follow after Jesus. If you'll just make yourself available to be at your workplace for an additional 8 hours on Sunday, you can move up the corporate ladder a lot more quickly. And Jesus says, no, be willing to sacrifice those opportunities in order to follow after me. Some of the opportunities that Jesus may call you to give up in order to follow after him may be opportunities to do things your way. And we all have certain ways that we like things done in our life. And one example of this from the life of Christ was Martha, right? Martha wanted things done a certain way. She had a burden that when we do hospitality, we do these steps. We've got to do these steps. And Jesus says, guess what, Martha? The important thing for you is for you to give up doing things the way that you want them done in order that you can come and be with me. Come, follow me. And following Christ is a call to choose sacrifice. We sacrifice creature comforts. We sacrifice opportunities that we otherwise might have. We also are called to sacrifice relationships. Luke 4:26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So Jesus calls us to willingly sacrifice other relationships, that our desire to be with him will so trump our other friendships. Once again, even good friendships, right? This is not in the context of, you know, well, you have to give up sinful relationships in order to follow Jesus. These are presented in the text as healthy, normal, good human relationships. And Jesus says that by comparison, that as much as we may love spending time with other people, that our desire to want to be with him, to want to follow after him, that our desire to be near to those other people will pale in comparison. And we don't talk a lot about it in our circles. We don't talk a lot about it because often we act as if the norm is, the biblical norm is that everyone will get married. But Jesus makes clear that following after him may, in fact, lead us to realize that there are pressing kingdom needs. That because of their weighty nature, because of the demands of the kingdom, that there will be some who will forego marriage in an attempt and out of their desire to follow after Jesus. And so a disciple chooses to sacrifice creature comforts, to sacrifice opportunities, and to even sacrifice relationships in order to follow after Jesus. And this is why then Jesus makes clear on numerous occasions that it's very difficult for the rich to be his disciple. And when we think about that, we often, we just think of millionaires and, multimillionaires and billionaires. Well, of course, those people, they're filthy rich, and it's hard for them to be disciples of Jesus. But is it not true that we can be rich in other ways that make it very challenging for us to follow after Jesus? Maybe you're someone who's very, very rich in friends. You have all sorts of friends, and your friends, and you're one of these people who has over 1,000 friends on Facebook, and your friendships keep you so busy, so many interactions with other great people, that it keeps you from focusing in on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're somebody who comes from just a tremendous family. I just love being with my family. I have all these family opportunities and obligations. And maybe it's your family and being rich in family that's a distraction to you from being near to Jesus Christ, from following him. Or maybe you happen to be rich in information. And in fact, we all are rich in information. What I'm talking about is that we have all sorts of information right at our fingertips that's very interesting and engaging to us, right? Because the internet tailors itself to the things that I happen to be interested in, the things that you're interested in. I don't have to read those pages, right? I just have tons and tons of information at my fingertips. I'm very wealthy in that regard. And that wealth is no different than monetary wealth, in that it can make it very difficult for us to follow after Jesus. Because I already have information that I so love and so delight in. But a disciple chooses to sacrifice. Now, maybe it goes without saying, but as we think about this choice of sacrifice, it needs to be made explicit that choosing sacrifice involves pain. Choosing sacrifice involves pain. See, our temptation is to say, yes, yes, I want to be a disciple. I know it's good to be a disciple. Where do I send my leftovers? Where do I send the bag of clothes that I have ready to go to the Goodwill? I'll just send that to Jesus, right? That can be our attitude toward discipleship. I have some leftover time. I've got a few minutes here and there. Surely Jesus can make something of that time. That'll be a nice sacrifice for him. It reminds me of a sad story. In our denomination's history, in our work in Japan, at one point in time, there was a ladies' missionary fellowship in one of our congregations that saved up and mailed their used tea bags to the missionaries in Japan. Well, we know our missionaries are poor. We know they're poor. And so surely they can get some good out of our used tea bags. And you're rightly appalled by that. But is that not how we so often treat the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I have some leftovers. I have some things I've already kind of used up, and you can have them, Jesus. I think tonight, before I fall asleep, there's a couple minutes when I'm lying in bed, just exhausted at the end of the day, and I'd just like to give those 2 minutes of my day to you before I start snoring. Jesus, they're all yours. And the Scripture calls us, brothers and sisters, very clearly to the fact that following Jesus, when it says that it will mean sacrifice for us, means that there's a choice made to experience pain. Jesus makes this explicit in Matthew 16 when he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." See, it's impossible to be sacrificed, right? It's impossible to live out Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be a living sacrifice without there being pain involved. And Jesus there specifically, it kind of ups the ante, right? Because he says, not only am I calling you to be living sacrifices, but I'm calling you to take up willingly an instrument of torture every day. And why does he say, take up your cross daily? Because he knows how easy it is for us overnight to lay that cross back. I don't want to take that cross back up. I'm comfortable here in my bed. I have things to do today. I have things that make me comfortable. I have things I enjoy about life that are on my agenda today. But Jesus realizes that you and I will not follow him, that we will not wholeheartedly walk after him without willingly giving up things that are dear to us. And this is why we say that you can't just figure out, you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ by just figuring out how to fit it in your spare time. If you're just fitting discipleship into your spare time, you're not really following. You won't really follow. Because the other things will crowd in. And the reality is if we can't put down our phones for 15 minutes on silence in order to be with Jesus, if we can't sacrifice 15 minutes of access to our data plan, we're really not engaged as disciples of Jesus Christ. If that's the greatest pain, you know, I can't even endure the pain of 15 minutes apart from my data plan, then we truly have slipped back into the easy life. So you can't just add discipleship onto your to-do list. You can't just squeeze it in where it fits. Jesus calls you to choose sacrifice, and to choose sacrifice that will mean pain. And recognize this is where, as we go back to those earlier verses, we're not only choosing, discipleship is a choice to lay aside sin, but it's also a choice to lay aside otherwise good things, things that are okay for us to be involved in. To choose to lay aside a half hour of sleep. To choose to be the one person at school who didn't see a certain movie because you had other things occupying your time. To choose to sacrifice time alone. Choosing sacrifice involves and requires pain. I had a conversation once. I had a mother come to me to let me know that her child would not be returning to Presbytery youth events. And the reason why was because at the youth event the weekend before, her daughter was one of the few people who did not get a mattress and had to spend the weekend on the floor, sleeping in a sleeping bag on the floor. And I'm glad to say, actually, that this young lady grew into a fine Christian woman and is walking wholeheartedly with the Lord and making great sacrifices for the Lord. But I remember thinking, you know, if your daughter can't even sacrifice sleeping in a bed for the weekend, how will she be a Christian wife and mother someday? How is she going to do when there's actual real persecution in our country? How's she going to do when Jesus actually asks her to give up something difficult to give up? And yet we all have the beds, the mattresses of our lives, right? The things that I've got to have this and I won't give it up. You can ask me to sacrifice my used tea bags, but don't ask for my mattress. Don't ask for 15 minutes. Don't ask Jesus for one day a week for me to spend with you. That's too dear. Don't ask for me to lay aside my phone in order to dedicate myself to you for a few minutes. See, discipleship is choosing sacrifice. And when we choose sacrifice, it's a choice of pain. God wants us and calls us to choose that which is difficult. And as we think about following Jesus, meaning that it means that we choose sacrifice, and that sacrifice will involve pain, I hope you realize that we're up against what philosophically we would call the impossibility of the contrary. Right, for me to say, for you to follow Jesus involves sacrifice, requires sacrifice, and it will require pain. How could the contrary possibly be true? In other words, think about where we started this evening from 2 Corinthians 8. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. But we say, wait, where's the sign-up sheet? I want to sign up for the rich, comfortable discipleship club. I'll follow after Jesus, and I want, you know all the passages that talk about how wonderful and easy his life was on earth? Those are the times I want to follow. No. First of all, there's not very many passages like that in the whole of the Bible, right? So your list is already, you know, about 1/100th of all the teaching about Christ. If you're signing up only for I want to follow on the easy days of Jesus' life. And furthermore, there were no easy days, right? I mean, he's used to being in heaven. He's the God of all glory, has angels to worship him round the clock. And he comes to be born into poverty, to be born into a stable. And then he's almost immediately on the run, you know, going off to Egypt in order to get away because his life's threatened. And then, of course, even the people who should have loved him and recognized him the most, the Gospel of John tells us that he came into his own and his own did not receive him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man acquainted with sorrows, familiar with grief. And he dies not a rich man's death at all. He dies the death of a criminal. And he dies without a pair of underwear left to his own name, as even that is gambled away. And yet we have the audacity to say, I want to follow Jesus, and I'll follow Jesus on the easy, I'll sign up for the easy followers club. I'll sign up for the wheel me around in a lazy boy club. No, that's not discipleship. It's impossible. That's an impossible definition of what it means to follow Jesus, because that's not the path that Jesus walked in. Following Jesus, therefore, means that we choose sacrifice, that we choose pain, that we choose to lay down our lives, to take up our cross, to follow after Him. But thankfully, the Scripture gives us great encouragement in this endeavor. Because the Scripture makes clear that choosing to follow Jesus, choosing to sacrifice to follow Christ, means laying aside what is good in order to take up that which is great. Matthew 10:20-25 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. See, Jesus' call on your life is for you to lay aside all these other things in order that you might follow in His steps. And in order that you might say, along with Matthew, it's enough. It's enough for me. If I never get to have a convertible, but somebody somewhere along the line says, I look at you and you remind me of Jesus. When I look at your life, I can tell you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. Our response is, that's enough. That is glorious. Yeah, I've traded in something good. I've traded in some nice human friendships. I've traded in some days at the park. I've traded in some time watching movies. I've traded in some enjoyable things for that which is truly great and glorious. And I've traded these things in that I might be near to Jesus Christ. As they neared death, David Livingstone, the famous missionary to Africa, and Hudson Taylor, the well-known missionary to China, interestingly enough, both had the same thing to say. You know what it was? I have sacrificed nothing. They came to the end of their lives. Lives that, to our way of looking, they sacrificed everything. And they said, I sacrifice nothing. Doing what Christ has called me to, the glories that I've seen, the opportunities that God's given to me, and the opportunity to be near to Jesus, I've given up nothing at all. And we might think the same way about Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha. Is Jesus, in inviting Martha to come and sit here with me, really asking Martha to give up anything, anything at all? Or would it not have been the case if Martha had come and sat there and learned from Jesus that she too, at the end of that day, would have said, I've sacrificed nothing. I've gained everything by doing this. And the call of discipleship for us, whether you're 90 years old or whether you're 8 or 9 years old this evening, the call of discipleship for us is to examine, what are we holding on to with all of our strength that's good that's keeping us from grasping at and grasping that which is great. Because our hands, our lives may be full of very, very good things. Things that no one in this room would find morally objectionable at all. That somebody in this room could follow you all week long and say, yeah, everything he does, it's okay. You know, it's not sinful stuff. And how many of us are clinging to those really good things that we love? And yet by holding on to those things that we love, are sacrificing that which is great. The call of discipleship, which is a call to follow Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, is a call that's by its very definition is a call to sacrifice. Call to sacrifice your creature comforts. To sacrifice worldly opportunities that exist. To sacrifice relationships that might be very fulfilling to you. But to willingly give up those things. To willingly lay those things on the altar in order that you might follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's impossible for us to follow Christ, is it not, without a willingness to sacrifice. Jesus has sacrificed so much for us. And he's calling us in turn to lay down our lives, to take up our cross daily, in order that we might follow after him. May God give us the grace to see those things in our lives that we're just holding on to tightly, that are good, but that are keeping us from that which is great. And may God open our eyes to those things. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the life, the ministry, the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that for our sakes, that he was willing to be impoverished in order that we might be rich. And Lord, we confess that there are many things in our lives that we look at and think of as the riches of our lives that are actually keeping us from the true riches that Jesus Christ has provided for us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us heavenly eyes, that you would give us spirit-filled hearts, hearts that would want to love and to delight in the things that you love and delight in, the things that you want us to give ourselves to. And Lord, allow us to, even in this upcoming week, even tonight, allow us to have the grace to fall just a little bit more out of love with the world and a little bit more in love with following the Lord Jesus. Show us, Lord, where we're loving what is good instead of loving what is great. Extend your grace to us that we might be followers of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.